All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, Proverbs 27. And I want to just read one little verse here, and then we're going to go back to the book of Exodus for just a moment. But let's start here in Proverbs 27. And this is probably a familiar verse. Some of you have probably committed this to memory, and it's a good verse to do that help you. But chapter 27, verse 1. All right, the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Man, that's good sound advice, isn't it? All right, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We just simply don't know. Now, take your place, or hold your place, and go back, take your Bible, and go back to Exodus for just a moment. And I want you to turn to chapter 8, Exodus 8. Exodus 8. All right, now, in this chapter, we have the plagues that were being sent upon Egypt. And specifically in this verse, or in this chapter, we see the plague of the frogs. The frogs came out of the Nile River, and they were everywhere, just absolutely everywhere. If you will look, please, at verse 3, it says, "And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber." That just gives you the goolybooks thinking about it, doesn't it? Huh? It does. That's disgusting. And upon thy bed, oh my soul, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs, where they would make the dough for bread. Mercy. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon thy servants. And so, sure enough, in verse 5 6, that's exactly what happened. Look at verse 6. "And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt," covered it. Woo. "And magicians imitated," all right, so they imitated this miracle. But then look at verse 8, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord," all right, to entreat means to pray. Talk to the Lord, beg, plead with the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And I will let the people go and that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said," what? Does that make any sense at all? Huh? Do it now. Pray now. Tomorrow. I'm sure Moses looked at him like, what is wrong with you? You know? What is wrong with you? Tomorrow? But isn't that just like sin-blinded hearts? Oh, I'll get right with God, but tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to start living for the Lord. Not today, but tomorrow. You know, I'm going to start learning how to win someone to the Lord. I'm not going to do it today, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to get saved. I'm not going to get saved today, but I'll get saved tomorrow. How about tomorrow? Well, folks, I want to serve notice on you. God is not a tomorrow God. He's a today God. Let me remind you that the Bible says, Paul said in the New Testament, that today is the day. All right? He said in one place in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that we are not to harden our hearts against the Lord, that today is the day that we are to act. Don't get a hard heart like Pharaoh did, so angry and so bitter and so hardened to the things of the Lord that you can't even humble yourself and ask for the Lord to do something for you today. Oh no, do it tomorrow. Man, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but tomorrow never comes. You know, you say, well, I'll do it tomorrow, but tomorrow comes and tomorrow is today. And so it never gets here. It never comes. How many times do we find ourselves talking about tomorrow? We're going to go shopping tomorrow. We're going to go see so-and-so tomorrow. Oh, let that go. I'll do it tomorrow. Someone said, never put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Well, that's good advice, isn't it? Someone else said, you can't say, I'll do it tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes, and when it gets here, it's today. And folks, that's sort of what God is saying so far as the spiritual realm of our lives holds. We are to do today. I wonder how many people are in hell this morning because they planned to get saved tomorrow, and then tomorrow never came. Wonder how many people are like that. If we could go down and just, you know, take a little survey and ask folks, what were your intentions? I figure most of them would have said or will say that, you know, I was going to get saved tomorrow, but I just never did. And now it's too late. How many Christians are 40-year-old babes in Christ? You know, they've been saved for 40 years. Or 45 years, or 50 years. And they're at the same spiritual level today that they were 40 years ago when they got saved. They were always going to get on fire for God, but they were going to get on fire for God tomorrow. They were always going to get baptized and join the church and get busy and start serving the Lord. But they're going to do it tomorrow, not today. And I wonder how many folks are like that. Well, I want you to notice here that God says we're to do things today, not put them off till tomorrow. If we keep pushing things forward till tomorrow, we're going to find out that one of these days we have no more tomorrows. Now, just a couple of things I want you to notice about tomorrow. First of all, let me have you think about the abuse of tomorrow. Listen, folks, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved, this, what I'm about to say to you, is for your benefit. Don't boast about tomorrow. Whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved, don't boast about tomorrow. Why? Well, let me give you three little reasons here where we abuse the word tomorrow. First of all, because it is extremely foolish to boast at all. I mean, the Lord does not like boasting. When you're boasting, you are displaying pride. And God hates pride, as you well know. And boasting never makes a person any greater in the esteem of others. It never does. Oh, we think it does, but it doesn't. It never makes us any greater in the eyes of another person. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "We can boast as much as we want, and it will not increase ourselves one bit." Not one bit. We can boast all we want, but it does not make us smarter. It does not make us richer. It does not make us more wiser. It does not make us more knowledgeable. I mean, we can boast all we want, but it does not increase us in any area, not once. Sad, isn't it? And yet we are, as sinners, a bunch of boasters. You see, tomorrow is the thing that we have not yet obtained. And therefore, not only if we had it, would it be foolish to boast of it, but because we have it not and may never have it, it becomes the very extremity of foolishness to glory in it. Why glory in what you don't yet have? And that's what folks do. They glory about tomorrow. And the simple truth of the matter is, we have no sure foundation upon which we can rest that we'll even see a tomorrow. That's true, isn't it? Secondly, it leads many into extraordinary extravagance. It really does, folks. I mean, folks spend what they hope to have, or rather what they will never have in a lot of cases. We are a nation in debt up to our eyeballs and over our heads because of speculation of tomorrow. All right? That's one of the reasons that I am so against this gambling craze that America has fallen into. What is that? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the hope of a day that never comes. It's the hope of tomorrow. And it never comes. And what's so comical is folks will somebody has to win, you know, the mega whatever it is. Mega cabillions, you know, somebody has to win that. But then all you have to do is just follow their story. And you'll find out that it makes them the most miserable people in the world. You say, well, I'd like to see if it would make me miserable. Yeah, I know you would. I know you would. All right. But listen, folks. If you're unhappy, getting a fortune is not all of a sudden going to make you happy. It's just not. That is not your answer, okay? That is just not your answer. And we are a nation that has all of its hopes in tomorrow. But folks, you don't know about tomorrow. Why don't you put your hopes in today? I mean, put your hope in the Lord now. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off your salvation till tomorrow. It might be too late by the time tomorrow gets here. There's a lot of folks that write today across the top of their lives in hope for a payoff tomorrow. And folks, God is totally against tomorrow thinking, because many have found disastrous circumstances who look for tomorrow. I mean, it's just not, tomorrow's not all it's cracked up to be, folks. I guess that's what I'm saying. I mean, seeking fame and fortune and power and position, but you know, all of that's only one tragedy away. You know, it can all be destroyed with one tragedy. You can lose everything with just one tragedy. A car wreck. A natural disaster. All right? A COVID outbreak. I mean, you could just lose everything in a day's time, and there would be no tomorrow. I mean, people build their lives with tomorrow in mind. And God is not looking for tomorrows. God is looking for what we do today. It's no wonder God wants us not to boast of what we will be or will do. It's no wonder that God wants us to look at today and live for today. But then secondly, I want you to notice the absurdities of tomorrow. The absurdities. Let's take a look at tomorrow, spiritually speaking. You know, we should never boast of tomorrow with regard to our soul's salvation. But yet multitudes of people do, don't they? Right. Do you remember reading that story over in the book of Acts of folks who they think that it'll be easier to repent and turn to the Lord tomorrow than it is today? You know, Acts 24, Felix. You remember he called Paul in, and Paul stood before him and witnessed to him and told him about the Lord and told him how he needed to get saved from his sin. And the Bible tells us that Felix trembled under conviction. He trembled when Paul was witnessing to him. And even though he trembled, he said to Paul, not today, not today. And Paul said to him, well, if not today, then when? And you remember what Felix said? Felix said to him, well, I'll call you in a more convenient season. In other words, I'll call you, Paul, tomorrow. And as far as we know, folks, there's no indication anywhere in the scriptures that Felix ever got saved and ever came to the Lord for his salvation. There's no indication anywhere. And I would like to think if Felix did get saved, the Lord would have told us about it. Because he told us about the witness that Felix received. But there's no record that he ever got saved. So as far as we know, Felix is in hell this morning simply because he looked at Paul and said, not today, tomorrow. Well, I've had so many people tell me that they'll get saved one of these days. In other words, I'll get saved tomorrow. I've had so many people tell me that, and you think it's a hard thing to repent now, and that somehow it will be easier for you to repent tomorrow. Well, my dear friend, listen, I guarantee you, if the devil can get you not to get saved today, he will have just a little bit more of an edge over you, and then it will be easier for him to turn up the heat on you, so to speak, and it'll be easier for you to say, tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to get saved, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. In the very first church that Karen and I pastored, well, she didn't pastor it, I did, but she tried, but I wouldn't let her. I decided that I was going to go and visit every house and down out our way. It was Route 5, in rural Route 5, but there were houses all up and down through there, and I just decided I was going to visit every one of them, knock on every door, and I did. And there was a fella who was working on his car, and he was on one of those little things, trolley thing. What do you call those things? Creeper. He was on a creeper, and he was underneath his car, and his wife said, he's out in the garage. Why don't you go out there and talk to him, see if you can get anywhere. So I went out in the garage, and I bent down, I told him who I was, and he said, who? And I told him again, and I said, I'm the pastor down to church. And he goes, oh. He said, well, what can I do for you? And I said, well, I wanted to talk to you about the Lord. And he said, I don't have time right now. I'm trying to get this transmission in. And I said, you don't have time. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to push this because I want to be able to come back. So I said, all right, well, I'll come back later. He said, sorry, preacher, but I just don't have time. I said, it's all right. Well, it was only just a couple of days, and that wife called me on the phone at the house. She said, Pastor, my husband's been in a car accident. He's over at United Hospital in Parkersburg, and he's in pretty serious condition. Would you go over and talk to him? And I said, yeah. I said, I'll go see him. So I went over in a snowstorm, by the way. I went over there to see him. And when I walked in the room, they had him upside down in traction. And they had one of these halos on his head. And they had it screwed into his skull, holding him in place. And I walked over, and he's upside down. So when I walked in, I couldn't very well, stand normally and talk to him. So I kind of leaned over and I looked down at him. And he rolled his eyes over at me. And as soon as he saw me, he started to weep. And he looked me square in the eye with the tears rolling down behind his ears. He said, I guess I have time now, don't I? And I said, yes, sir, you do. And so I took a Bible and showed him how to be saved, and he trusted the Lord as his Savior. Amen. And several months later, he did get out of traction. He had his spinal cord was impacted in that accident, and it took him a while, but he finally did get back on his feet again. But the point is, folks, the guy said, tomorrow, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, I'm just thankful he had a tomorrow. I mean, he almost did not have a tomorrow. I mean, that could have easily been an accident that took his life. And so we think we got plenty of time to repent. We think we got plenty of time to live for God. And then the next thing you know, a life is over. And you realize time stands still for no one. And your life is past. And you've done nothing for the Lord. Nothing. I don't want to stand before him having done nothing. You know, you could be one of the statistics if you're not careful. You know? I mean, we are life is getting shorter every moment for every single one of us in this room. And there may be some in here who have years left. I hope that's true for everyone. But then there could be some folks that only have months left. And sadly, there could be folks that only have weeks left. Or maybe even days. And sadly, maybe even only hours. You see, we don't know what tomorrow brings. And that's why God puts such a great emphasis on today. Boast not about tomorrow. Don't boast about, well, tomorrow. You don't know that you're going to have a tomorrow. You just don't know. Don't you see why God deals with us? The Spirit of God deals with us. And He always says, today. Listen, folks, it's the devil, it's Satan who tells you tomorrow. It's Satan that whispers tomorrow. Don't listen to him. The devil talks to you to wait. He tells you, you got plenty of time. He says, don't do it today. No, do it today. Whatever the Lord is leading you in your life to do, whether it's get saved, whether it's get serious, whether it's serve him in some capacity, do it today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. I'm begging you, Christian. I'm begging you, unsaved person. You know, simple truth of the matter is, if resolutions were brick and mortar, we could all build a cathedral, couldn't we? You know? I quit making resolutions at New Year's when I got about 17 years old. And I thought, why stand here and lie to myself? You know? One year when I turned 40, I thought, well, you know, I used to lift weights and all that when I was in my 20s and early 30s. I used to lift weight. That's what happened to me. It all just went boom. It all just goes down. Gravity. Gravity. Oh, I hate gravity. I like gravy, but I don't like gravity. Amen. So I was about 40, I don't know, 45, something like that. And I thought, all right, I'm going to start lifting weights again, get back in shape. And I lifted one day and I couldn't move the next morning. I just, shoot me, just shoot me. Somebody just shoot me, I'm dying here. And I said, I ain't doing that no more. And I haven't. I made a decision that day. That was my resolution. Don't ever do this foolishness again. It was awful. I mean, there's common sense, you know. Let that prevail when you get over 25, okay? Let me ask you something. What if you had a heart attack today? Would you tell your family, I wait till tomorrow to call the ambulance? Would you do that? No. No, no way. What if you had a toothache and it was absolutely killing you? Would you go to the dentist, and when you got in there, all right, you would say, he would say, well, you know, I'm going to have to numb that up and pull those roots out of there. You say, no, let's do it tomorrow. Don't do it today. Do it tomorrow. Well, no, you would never do that. And I don't understand why we wait with our most precious possession, our souls, When God says today, and we just turn around and say, oh no, Lord, not today, tomorrow. Don't do that. I am preaching to someone right here this morning, and you know that you ought to get right with God. You know it. And that old devil just keeps whispering to you, do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. And that tomorrow is never going to show up. You mark my word. Then the last thing I want you to see, I want you to notice the accomplishments of tomorrow. You might be sitting here saying, well, Pastor, are tomorrows good for anything? Are they good for anything? Well, we cannot boast about them, can we? But there are some things we can do with tomorrows. You say, well, like what? Well, we can look forward to them with patience and confidence. You say, well, why? Well, confidence that all things tomorrow, according to the promise of God, will work together for good in our lives. Oh, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, but there's one thing we can know, that the God who holds tomorrow is going to work all things out. You know, remember that verse, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And he will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. I mean, God knows what's ahead for us. Don't you wish you knew what was ahead? Don't you wish you knew what this week had for you? But you see, we don't know that. I suppose you heard about the guy that went to the fortune teller, and he said, she said, well, what can I do for you? And he said, I want you to tell me where I'm going to be when I die. And she said, well, good grief, why do you want to know that? He said, I'll make sure I never go there. Works for me. No, it doesn't work for you either. It's not how it works, is it? You see, I'm just simply saying that if we would come to grips with the truth that God is in control of our lives, all the events that happen are all under his command. And that even though we don't know the answers and the curves and the swerves that are in the road, God does. And the promise is that everything is going to work out. Amen. He'll give you grace. You say, but Pastor, my loved one died. Yes, yes, that is a part of life. And the wonderful thing is, you and I have the promise that even when our hearts are broken, even when tragedy strikes us, we have a God that will stick closer to us than a brother. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So what about tomorrow? Well, you just realize that you can crawl right up on God's lap and he'll wrap his arms around you and he'll whisper in your ear and say, everything's okay. I got this. I got this. I was watching my two younger grandsons yesterday, Bull and Dog. My goodness. They got more energy. They got more energy. There was one of them great big, what do you call those things? That full of styrofoam. What's it called, Karen? The bean bag. Is only it's not beans in it. But anyway, huge. It's huge. And it was in the corner. Well, they get all the way across the room, go running as fast as they can, and then do head first. Head first! Right into it. And I'm standing there going, somebody needs to make them stop. You know, they're not my kids. But I raised my kids better than to let their kids run as fast as they can run and dive head first into something that doesn't give very much. And they just kept doing it. And I finally looked over and I said, somebody needs to stop this. And they look at me like I'm nuts. Dad, they're all right. They're not going to hurt themselves. Okay. All right. You say, well, what'd you do? Left the room. Left the room. I mean, I thought that was better for everybody if I just left the room. I mean, we go outside and there's a basketball rim and there's basketballs and soccer balls and who knows what else kind of balls, and they're you're constantly ducking and dodging. Stop! Can't you just stop for a minute? Watch, Papa, watch this. Half court. Whew. And it hits the rim, bounces right back at my head. You know, my reflexes are gone. Gone. Oh, my goodness. And you just wonder, you know, it's amazing how God looks after us. And I watched him, you know, fall and trip and dive and everything else into that beanbag chair. And, you know, you watch them jump and one of them comes and you know, they don't just walk by. They kick you as they go by. They you know, they elbow you as they go by. They just got to do something. And you just wonder, man, if God doesn't take care of us, we're all going to be a disaster. You know it? We're all going to be a mess. But thank God he holds tomorrow. And then we can look forward to tomorrow with some joy. You see, tomorrow to a Christian is another day to walk with God. It's another day to be in fellowship with the Lord. It's another day to read your Bible and have God speak to you. It is also a day that brings us one step closer to home. Aren't you excited about seeing your heavenly home? It may be the day that you see those loved ones that have gone on before you. You know, tomorrow may be the day you walk on the streets of gold. Tomorrow may be the day that you look upon the face of your blessed Savior who died for you. Tomorrow may be the day that you receive a new body that is like unto His glorious body. You see, the rapture could happen today. And then tomorrow, we're going to be with the Lord. And all the aches and pains are gone. Thank God for that. Tomorrow. You know, simple truth is the devil delights in tomorrows. God delights in today. And you know, if we take care of today, God will take care of the tomorrows. That's just how it works. But if we don't walk with God today, well, we just don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, do we? God help us. Well, I'll get saved when? Well, today. You're going to get saved today? That's what God wants you to do. Well, you know, I'm going to get serious for God. I'm going to get serious about church. I'm going to get serious about reading my Bible. Oh, when are you going to do that? Today? Man, I sure hope you do, because that's what God wants you to do. Today would be a great day for you to just get right with God. Wonderful day. God says, today. Don't do it tomorrow. Do it today. Don't boast of tomorrow. You don't even know what you will have. You don't even know if you will have a tomorrow. And my mind goes back to old Pharaoh sitting on that throne with a hard heart, not willing to humble himself. He asked a question. God, who is he that I should obey him? Jehovah God, who is he that I should obey him? Well, the Lord showed him who he was, didn't he? But he was so rebellious and so hard-hearted that he told God, or he told Moses, do it tomorrow. Told God, do it tomorrow. Get rid of those frogs tomorrow. What about today, Pharaoh? We've made it this far with the frogs. We can do one more night. That's ridiculous. And my friend, it's no more ridiculous for anybody in this room to put off your salvation decision till tomorrow. I wish you'd make it today. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around for just a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless the word of God and give us understanding of what we have heard this morning. The wisest man in the world, Solomon, the fellow who understood human nature and understood people better probably than anybody who has ever lived outside of our Savior. And he admonished, boast not thyself for tomorrow. So Father, help us to heed that advice today. Don't do tomorrow what we could do today. And Father, I'm sure in a crowd this size, there is at least somebody who is not sure they're saved and on their way to heaven. And there might be somebody sitting here and your Holy Spirit is convicting them. They need to take care of things today. And Father, there may be a Christian and you're speaking to that Christian's heart. And you've been trying to draw them to yourself. You've been trying to get them to get serious about the Christian life and about reading their Bible and about growing as a Christian, serving, being faithful to the house of God and learning the things of God. And Father, they're sitting here right now coming up with excuses as to why they can do it tomorrow. Father, I pray you'll take away all those excuses and help us to realize that you are a today God. So, Father, bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.